With that, I'd like to welcome our first speaker tonight, all the way from Santa Maria or Orchid, I think. Orchid? Yeah.
Sounds like he's back there.
Anyway, let's give it up for Armando, huh?
My name's Armando. I'm an alcoholic. It's good to be here. It's good to be sober. It's good to be in the company of friends and people that are in recovery. I want to thank everyone who was responsible for getting me up here for the 10-minute pitch. My friend Al, I think, got me into this, and no two people are any different than we are. He's from the Valley. He's a Giants fan. I'm an agnostic. You know, it's whoever wins is fine with me. Although he accuses me of being a diehard Dodger fan. But it's been fun getting to know everyone here. You're like my family. This is where I found peace, where I found honesty in these rooms. I've been here a while. My sobriety date is March 24, 2002. I don't have any new material, okay? Anything I say tonight, you've already heard it. And if you heard it as being new, it's because you weren't paying attention the first time. And whatever I say, I'm not a victim, okay? Whatever, however it is, I'm just gonna lay it out there. I had this thing where I said, like, what do I talk about? And Al and I are going back and forth over, you know, what do you talk about? And as I've learned, you come out here and just go for it. Whatever is there, and a little bit about myself. And for those of you that know my story, please don't go to sleep. I was born and raised in Arizona. Come from a crazy family, a lot of violence and a lot of alcohol. I got two older brothers. One has passed on, and this disease was rampant in our family. I've got cousins and uncles as the family tree runs down, where that family tree has just stopped to exist because of alcohol. And so I know what it's like to see people go through DTs. I know the whole drill, and whatever I saw and felt, it never stopped me from picking up the drink. My first real experience was when I was 14. A friend of mine stole a gallon of Gallo, and we were right over here by the park, by Paul Nelson Park. They had partitions in those days, and we're out there about 7 o'clock at night. By 11 o'clock, we were puking, and I said, man, I made it. I'm here. This is the way the big guys do it. You know, I was always looking for approval from my father, and I could never find it. And he was a worker, he was a drinker, and he never lost a day of work. And I said, man, that's who I want to be like. I want to be this guy. And you know, I got through high school. At the time, I was going to Santa Maria High, and I have no idea how I got through it, except that I guess they just got tired of looking at me. At the time, once I graduated from Santa Maria High in 1965, the draft was looming, and I didn't want to get drafted. You know, I was so tired of living here that I thought it was an upgrade to get into the Marine Corps and go to Vietnam. You know, that's my keen thinking. That's my alcoholic thinking, and that's the way I operated. I was always looking for something worse or this adventure that was going to change my life, and I didn't know what I was getting into, other than the fact that I survived 3 years in the Marine Corps. When I came out of there, I knew how to drink. I could drink, and I loved alcohol. I loved alcohol. It would change everything for me, my fears, and must have been that enchilada. But you know, when I got out, part of the culture in our society was that if you were in the service, I guess if you were crazy, you got into law enforcement, and I did. I got into the Santa Barbara County Sheriff's in 1975, and I can remember doing the background information. I had to do a lie detector test, and they asked me, and this was on a Monday, they asked me, when was my last drunk? And I said, what do you mean, my last drunk? Well, you know, I did have a party, a going away party Friday. And they said, look, asshole, I want to know. You know, those days, they weren't nice to you. They wanted to know the truth about you. And I said, okay, Friday, okay, did you hurt anybody? He said, no. So anyway, I don't know. Like I said, the culture at that time, everybody was had prior military service. 80% of all people in law enforcement had been in the military. And then people liked to party. And that was part of the allure of booze, broads, and bad guys, is the way I call it, the three B's. And, you know, I have no idea how I survived it. I had no idea. I know, I don't know how my marriage survived it. My wife suffered a lot. My wife suffered a lot behind this life. After work, the guys, you know, we would drink a little bit. At the time, there was the office bar here, and we'd be there at 6 in the morning, open it up, have a couple of beers, go home. And then it escalated for me, where I went from beer, I started drinking for effect. And it just escalated, where the last 5 years were the craziest time for me. But I gotta say that 10 years before I got here, I can remember embarrassing my wife. We were at a Super Bowl party, and I'm in a blackout. And somehow or another, I thought it was kind of cool for me to wanna swap wives with this other guy's wife. And I said, I'd even throw in a six pack, you know, we wanna make it. And you know, I was oblivious to the whole thing. I was oblivious. I was crazy. And you know, she wasn't talking to me. And my brother-in-law said, man, you're cool. We got to do it again next year. And I'm thinking, man, this isn't going good. And I'm not sure. I think she got a car out of it. But anyway, that's another story. But it was like, I was always apologizing. And I can remember where I was so regretful, so full of remorse. And, you know, it's not going to happen again. I'm not going to let it get away. And it just, I can remember after that episode where I went to an AA meeting because I needed to show her that my intentions were good, that they were pure, just like this white shirt I got. That's for him. So I remember I went to this AA meeting and I walked out. I said, "Man, I'm not ready. I wasn't ready for that. I couldn't identify." I said, "Man, these people really have problems. I don't have any problems." I went home and I reported to my wife. I said, you know, I went to this meeting and, you know, I'm here to tell you I'm not an alcoholic. And her response was golden. She said, you know what? I never said you were an alcoholic. I said you were an asshole. That's what she said. And so I'm sure that what we have here in the big book and in recovery, there is an answer for alcoholism, but there's also an answer for assholism. And so, you know, I found myself in these rooms. Again, I didn't get here, and I've heard it the other night, and I've heard it before, where I didn't get here on the winning streak. My butt was kicked good and hard. I was suicidal. I was out of answers. I was totally insane. I just didn't have an answer. Alcohol had stopped working. It wasn't the solution anymore. And I said, what am I going to do? You know, how to think that I'm going to live life without alcohol, I don't know. I don't know if I can do this. And so on April 1st, 2002, I went to my first meeting, and Jack was there. Esteban was there. In fact, Esteban gave me my first big book. And at the time, what I remember from that meeting were the methods, you know. Everything about the methods that, to me, they just hit home. I can't remember who led the meeting. I can't remember too many people that were at that meeting. But the methods that we have tried, drinking beer only, limiting the number of drinks, never drinking alone, never drinking in the morning, on and on and on. I try to do some of those things because I wanted to prove to myself that I was not an alcoholic. But I had a problem. I had a problem. And I can remember going to and identifying, and that was the most important thing for me, because I felt deep inside that I belonged. I had found something. I had found something that had been missing in my life. You guys told me, it was suggested I get a sponsor, I take the steps, I did. What the heck is his name? I forgot, I just had Dave Jones. Dave Jones was my first sponsor, God bless him. He's turning in his grave right now because I forgot his name. But he took me through the steps, and then and we went on from there. And in recovery, I've only had two sponsors, Dave Jones and Nick Floor. And I want to say something about Nick, that he's sick. He's got lung cancer. And I would ask for your prayers for him. Keep him in your thoughts. He's got 45 years of sobriety, and we've done a lot of fun things together. He can't do those things that are so near and dear to him, like playing golf and just getting out. But I want to say about my first year in sobriety, it was so powerful for me, even though I was writing these emotions, because I was feeling everything. I hadn't felt anything for years. And here I was, irritable, restless, discontent. You could have put my picture in there because I was so out of whack. You know, my feelings and my emotions went from the penthouse to the basement that fast. And the answer was here in these rooms, because that's what you guys taught me. This is where I found relief. You go to a meeting, you get relief. But if you want real recovery, you get into service and you get a sponsor and you take those steps. And I can remember my wife telling me, she's always been a great buffer for me, because I remember early, after our first couple of meetings, where she told me, hey, I don't know what I'm gonna do about our marriage. I might divorce you. I don't know what I'm gonna do. I'm tired of you. I'm tired of this life, what you've given me, the pain. But whatever you do, you gotta do it for yourself. And I went after it. And I can remember those times where she said, you know, you're really pretty jumpy. You're hard to be around with. I don't know about this sobriety thing. You're still an asshole. And so off I went. You know, she said, you better get to a meeting, because I liked you better when you were drinking, but if you drink again, you're dead, you're done, we're done. I said, okay, well, there I go, you know. And I would turn it over to people, even though Dave Jones was still working. And I would talk to whoever in a meeting, after the meeting, during the meeting, about how do you get relief? How do you do it? Prayer, meditation, you go to meetings. Sometimes you have to sit on it. And I've done some crazy things in sobriety. And I wouldn't recommend it because you're testing the waters. At 2 years in sobriety, I can remember going to a golf tournament. It was all cops. And I think there was one other guy there that wasn't drinking. I took my brother-in-law with me, and he had a case of Heineken in the back seat. And I can remember being out there in the desert. We're playing golf, and everybody's knocking him down because it's warm and you can have a beer. Wasn't that nice? And you get a beer and you see the moisture just went, oh man, you know, is that gonna do it? And I picked up the phone. I picked up the phone. I called Nick Floor because nobody else would pick up their phone. And there was God. There was God. And I had to listen to him. And it was all nothing that I could have dreamed of when I was drinking. But I needed relief. I needed help. If I ever needed help, I needed it then. I said, okay, Nick, what do I do? He says, well, obviously you can't go to a meeting because you're around all these bozos. If you've got a big book, get into the big book. You've done what you could, you call me. And the fourth thing is, you sit on your hands and let the moment pass. Get something to eat, get something to drink, hydrate, and I did. I did all those things, and I got through the moment. The next day, as we're playing, it's already 100 degrees out there in the desert, and I hear some guy out there behind some palm trees calling Ralph. You know, that guy's sick. Guy's sicker. I said, you know, that could have been me, but it wasn't. I was so grateful for that moment. And I have to tell you that, you know, I talk about gratitude that I don't have the problems other people do, and so grateful that I have the life that I have. But here's the thing. To me, my gratitude is focused on the fact that I found a higher power, that as a result of taking the steps, that I can be comfortable in my skin at this point in time in my life and be so grateful for all those lessons, whether it was the way that I was raised, whether it was my time in Vietnam, whether it was my service. I was sharing with Mike, who is a visitor here. And I want to welcome the newcomer. I want to welcome our visitors. I want to welcome the birthday people. But Mike has a background in law enforcement, and he knows how it is, how crazy it is. And I was telling him, I hate authority. I hate the people I used to work for, not the people I used to work with, because you'd be out there at night, just you and your partner, and they got to know you better than your own family. And that was crazy. And so in a way it was a kind of a weird fellowship, you know, because we drank a lot. And we always, I remember we had a guy in our group, in our department there, in our shift, who didn't drink. And we used to say, man, that guy's weird. When the guy gets pissed off, he's off and running. He'll kill anybody. And it's like, we're not that way. You know, we're cool, man. We are so cool.
Mark, 2 minutes left.
2 minutes. Oh, my gosh. Are you sure you don't want me to take this on for you? I'm just getting started, man. This is good stuff. I don't even need the big book. Man, alive. There goes my... But, you know, the pandemic was so crazy, the way it affected the world, the way it affected our country, the way it's affected here. But for me, it was like a saving grace because I'm retired. I'm grateful for that. I walked a lot every day, go for a walk. I got into Zoom meetings everywhere, almost every, I was saturated with Zoom meetings. But the most important thing is every day, I would call my sponsor every day. Nick would be on the other side and he'd listen to me and I'd say, I got this doubt. Or I'd say, I'm in fear. And he'd say, Armando, it's lack of God. I said, go back to the steps, go back to 1 and 3. You're not in charge, you know. You're not a deputy anymore. You're not a hard-charging Marine now. He says, enjoy your retirement. Let it go. That 6 and 7, step 9, I had to make these amends, things that happened years ago, and I'm going to share something with you. I don't share it very often. Marianne has heard it. And one of the biggest amends I ever had to make was where in Vietnam, I had a friend that was killed. He's from Santa Maria. And where he told me, hey, can you do something for me? Go to my family. And I had to make those amends to that family because it took me 20 years to do it. I couldn't do it. I'm sorry, I couldn't do it. And when I did, I was relieved of that bondage. And it's painful that I couldn't, because his family was destroyed. They couldn't get over the fact that this young Marine came home in a body bag, 18 years old, and everything to live for. And I came home and I had the survivor's guilt. And all of that did not come to play until it was a perfect storm with my drinking, my PTSD, and you know, and this led me into get deeper into the steps. It's gotten me deeper into veterans counseling, and so I'm grateful to the people in these rooms. I'm grateful to my wife. I'm grateful for my grandkids and the health that they have, and how beautiful they are, how they keep me centered. But most of all, a loving God who has given me so much. And what I have found here was peace, serenity, and I had nothing. I had nothing until I got here. You're my people. I gotta say one quick thing, and I'm gonna let it go. I went to a 55-year reunion today, okay? And I'm talking to this lady, and she said, well, my brother was gonna be here, but he's very involved in AA. He's got 15 years. And I said, oh man, who would that be? So she gave me the name, and I pulled out my, is that God? Okay. And I got this picture of this guy in my phone. I showed her, is that your brother? She goes, yep, that's my brother, Jim D. And so what a cool thing. And we're sharing. I'm sharing the program. I'm sharing what I've got. And I couldn't go out there and hang out with the pretty people, the cliques, got the people that were in those cliques. I'm out there hanging out with the guys that are doing the work. The guys in the barbecue pit, those are my people. And much like you guys, you know, you guys are my people. And I'm so grateful to be here. Keith, I love Keith. When Keith first came here 18 years ago, we used to call each other every day, every single day, and just touch bases. So thank you for having me. I always wondered if my story was good enough. I'll always wonder about that. But I'm glad that it wasn't any worse. Because I don't know that I could have handled it. And again, like I said, I try very hard to remain teachable, and that's all I got. Thank you.
All right, let's give it up for Armando one more time.